Good evening and welcome to today's meeting of the Commonwealth Club of California. I'm John Milford, Chair of the Club's Grown-Ups Forum and your host for today. We also welcome our listening audience and we invite everyone to visit us online at commonwealthclub.org. And now it's my pleasure to introduce our distinguished speaker, Denise Michaud. Denise has been in the insurance industry for 31 years and for the last 23 years has specialized in long-term care planning. Her advisory work with the California Department of Healthcare Services and California Senate Subcommittee on Aging brings a respected level of planning expertise to her clients. Denise developed the first continuing education course on long-term care suitability with a methodology to simplify the long-term care planning process for financial professionals. Her most important experience was caring for her grandmother who had Alzheimer's disease. Please join me in welcoming Denise Michaud.
Good evening, everyone. We get to a certain age when we wonder what's going to happen when we need to ask for help. So if something happened tonight and you needed to call on someone tomorrow to help you, you know, who would you call? Who would be willing and able to take care of you and for how long? And if you can't rely 100% on family, then you end up hiring your own caregivers. So the problem is that people don't really have an idea of what might happen. They just hope everything's going to be okay. So the key, though, is to have a good strategy. And a strategy is to know what you're going to tap into, what resources you're going to tap into when you need care. So how much you're going to rely on family, how much you're going to rely on your own finances, if you have long-term care insurance or if that's should be part of your plan, and if Medi-Cal or even the VA benefits would fit in with your circumstances. So I have had, like many of you, some personal experience with taking care of people in my family, and I want to just briefly tell you about those experiences so we can see how they tapped into their resources. So first, when I was early teenager, my grandmother had a stroke, she had some dementia, my grandfather took care of her for 3 years, and then they moved in with us, and we took on the role of being caregivers, and we took care of her for 7 years. So she needed care for 10 years. My other grandmother needed care when I was in my late 20s. She was a very independent person. She didn't want to burden my mom or my aunts and uncles, and she didn't have a lot of money. So when she needed care when she was about 90, she moved into an assisted living facility, and she went on state aid. The state paid for care in assisted living facility, which is in another state. In California, they don't pay for assisted living facility. And then fast forward to today, and my mother needs care. And so a couple years ago, she started needing care. She was very resistant to care, having people come into the home. And so the family took care of her, provided that support. Eventually, she understood she needs to hire people to relieve us. And she has a long-term care policy, and the policy pays for her caregivers. She has caregivers almost every day now. And this is what they do. They come into the house, they fix a meal, they do the dishes, they do the laundry, they clean up the house, they help her shower, they help her dress, they take her for a walk, they sit and talk with her. They give her the medication. Sometimes they take her to the doctor. They do all of that. And when we need care, this is the kinds of things we need. When I go and visit and the caregiver is there, or let's say not there, what do you think I'm doing? I'm doing all these things. And then when I visit and the caregiver is there, it's a beautiful experience. I'm really being able to visit my mother, and I make a meal for her. I take her to the doctor sometime. But it's a whole different experience. And I want to encourage everyone, as part of your strategy, to please try not to rely too much on family. for most families, they will want to be involved, but ideally to be involved in, you know, visiting and having a good time with people. So let's look at what happened with my family. So how it played out is my first grandmother, 100%, her care was given by a family for 10 years, our family. And even though we were passionate about her love, and we lovingly took care of her. I don't like to say we were tired and exhausted and resentful, but we were. So it happens. My other grandmother, she went on state aid. So 100%, almost 100% was taken care of by the state. And now my mother, the family still provides some support, but she did plan ahead. She bought a long-term care insurance policy, and that was kind of her plan, was if she needed care, she wanted things to be different for herself. All the caregiving is taken care of by the insurance. So she doesn't have to pay anything out of pocket. She doesn't have to be at risk of going on Medi-Cal or Medicaid at all. So that's her plan. Her plan's much more positive and healthy, than the others. And going forward, I encourage everyone to come up with their own plan. But people don't really know how to approach planning for long-term care. So I did a study. I took all the questions that people were asking me, all the information they wanted, all the information that I wanted them to have too, and came up with 7 steps for people to follow, just suggested steps to guide you towards a decision on how you can plan for your own care. These steps can actually be questions for yourself too. So I want to go through these steps, and although we don't have time to go through in depth in each step, I want to go through them, and then at the end I have some real life examples for clients and what their strategies are, and they are all over the place. They're all over the map. Because everyone can have their own different strategy based on their circumstances, their finances, and a lot has to do with their attitude too and value. So the first, well, there are 7 steps, I put them in chunks, 3 chunks, because it's a little easier to comprehend there. The first part is education, 2nd is your strategy, and 3rd would be your decision. So the first thing I always ask people is, what is your big concern? What's your big worry about needing care? Everyone knows what they're worried about. Most people don't know what to do about it. And so some people are worried about running out of money, or they're worried about burdening their kids, being abandoned to a nursing home, feeling unsafe with caregivers, or using up their money and then not being able to leave a legacy. So everyone has their own big worry. I would, recommend coming up with yours. And of course, you don't want to plan based on fear, something negative like that. But our emotions help us get us motivated to do something. But in terms of planning, you want to turn that fear, that big concern, into something positive. So you create your objective. What do you want to accomplish? What do you want to have happen if you do happen to need care? So if your big worry is you don't want to burden your kids, or you're worried about burdening your kids, then the objective would be that you want to stay independent and you want to be able to have a situation where your kids can come and visit and have good social time, but not to be involved in day-to-day care. If you're worried about running out of money, then your big objective might be that you want to preserve your principal. And if you're worried about being abandoned to a nursing home, then the objective would be possibly to make sure you're able to stay home or in a home-like setting as long as possible. Then, so that's learning about yourself. And since you are planning about long-term care, you want to learn about long-term care and the programs that go with it. So you want to understand what long-term care is, what Medicare is, what it pays, what it doesn't pay, how Medi-Cal works, and how long-term care insurance works. So even though we're not going to go into depth, I want to touch on some key points here. And So long-term care, we're not talking about the insurance, but long-term care itself means that you have a chronic problem you're going to need care for a long time. Most of the care that people need is personal care with activities of daily living. It's good to know some of the terminology, and people refer that as ADLs. Activities of daily living are like dressing and bathing and getting around. So either you need somebody to help you with those, or you have a cognitive problem, which means you have memory loss, disorientation, reasoning problems, and you need some supervision to make sure you're safe and everyone else is safe around you. You can receive care at home, assisted living facility, nursing facility, nursing home, adult daycare center. Many people receive care in an independent retirement community that provides care on site, and that would be, you know, the assisted living part of the community or the skilled nursing part of the community. Medicare does not pay for long-term care. So Medicare is designed to pay for your doctor, your hospital, and rehabilitation. And where people get maybe some misunderstanding is that Medicare will pay up to 100 days in a nursing facility, but you have to be in the hospital first for 3 days and then just be discharged there within, discharged to go into a skilled nursing facility within a certain period of time. And most of the time, people need physical therapy, speech therapy in the skilled nursing facility. And it's more rehabilitation so that they can go home. So it's not really long-term care. So I wouldn't count on Medicare paying for any long-term care expenses. If there's some little overlap, maybe that's good. But I wouldn't count on it. Medi-Cal is the program in the state of California for people who can't afford to take care of them, can't afford to pay for care themselves. And Medi-Cal will provide a little bit of money to subsidize some home care, but it's very little, and you have to have limited income and assets. If you need care in a nursing facility on Medi-Cal, then you, again, have to have limited income and assets. You can keep $35 a month of income, $2,000 of assets. And you can keep your home. And if you have a spouse, the spouse can keep also limited income and assets. So there's more information for all of these. If you want more information, I'm happy to, just email me and I can send you some more information on those. But just in a gist, that's how it works. What was I going to say about Medi-Cal? And long-term care insurance pays for home care, assisted living facility, nursing home care, adult daycare center. Because many people don't think it pays for home care, but it does. You buy a specific amount of coverage, specific amount of money that would come to you to help reimburse you for your expenses. You pay a premium for that amount of money. You pay a premium ongoing, or you can pay your premium up in a certain period of time, or you can pay one premium, and then it's done. Your policy, for most traditional long-term care policies, you die, there's no money that goes back to your estate. Some policies, though, you die and you haven't used a lot of money for long-term care, the premium is returned to your estate. And some policies have a death benefit. So if you die and don't use a lot of the money for long-term care, then the death benefit goes back to the estate. And all the money is tax-free that you receive from the policy or the death benefit. So the second part is creating a strategy for yourself. In order to have a strategy, and a strategy is like an equation. You know, when you need care, you're going to draw from this source and this source and this source, and that's going to be your strategy. But you have to inventory your resources first to see what you can tap into. So first of all, you want to inventory your family. What family members can you count on that are going to be available, and how often are they going to be available? and you want to be realistic about it. Most families want to be involved. And you want to think about, you know, how close they are, how much patience they have, you know, what their health is like. You want them to be strong enough to be able to provide some help. And then you want to look at your own money. There's a form I have here that you could use that you can pick up later that just helps you itemize your resources, your income, your assets, and your expenses to see, you know, how much you need to keep for living expenses and how much is available or discretionary that you could use for your care. Some people have allocated an asset for their care, and this is money that they don't need to live on. So you want to look at your money, and you want to keep in mind that if you are going to use money from your retirement accounts, like your IRA or sell some stocks or something, you want to remember that if your care costs a dollar, that it might cost you $1.25, you know, to have money come from a retirement account that hasn't been taxed yet. So you have to pay taxes on those. And long-term care insurance. You have to, of course, be relatively healthy to get long-term care insurance, but long-term care insurance is available to help pay for caregivers and care. The money is tax-free, but you have to pay a premium for that. So if the care costs a dollar, for example, you might be paying, you know, 20 cents to get the dollar. Or 3 cents, depends on your age and your health. So that might be a good option for you. It might not be a good option for you. You have to evaluate whether that should be part of your strategy. And then some people are eligible for Medi-Cal because they have low income or assets. And in some cases, they're not eligible for Medi-Cal now, but that might be their backup plan. So they might have to tap into family, their own money, and if they use it all up, then they may have to go on Medi-Cal. So you want to be conscious about what your resources are, what you can use, and then you want to think about your strategy. And your strategy would be how much weight you're going to put on each of these resources. The objective for most people would be to try to stay in as much control as possible if you ever need care. And when people come up with their own strategy, of course, it has a lot to do with, you know, what's available, family and money, but also your attitude. Some people want to self-insure. And so when I ask them, what do you mean by self-insure? They said, well, I'm going to depend on my family and then use the money up and then hope everything's okay. Well, that's not really a good strategy, right? So hoping is important, but you don't want to have that. It's not a realistic part of a strategy. You want to be realistic about how long the strategy will last and what your plan B would be like. So, for instance, I have a couple of people where the mother, her plan is to rely 100% on her daughter. And she actually does need care now, and her daughter is taking care of her 24/7. That is, you know, the daughter doesn't have a life, and it's been a couple of years. So that was a deliberate plan for the mom. That was her plan based on her values, maybe a cultural thing. But that's not a positive plan in my opinion. Another person, his plan is to give all his money away and go on state aid. And that's not, to me, that's not a very positive way to plan is either. Some people have to be on state aid. We have more people over 50 in the state of California, and so the state is worried about people going on state aid. So that Medi-Cal is available, needs to be available for people who really need it. But if you can plan ahead so that you can try to delay or avoid going on Medi-Cal, that's going to be a more positive way to approach things. And then, if long-term care insurance is part of, you want to look into that, you want to evaluate long-term care insurance policies. And I always recommend looking at least three companies, evaluating the different types of policies out there, and seeing, you know, what is available, what is right for you, and what's available. You have to be relatively healthy in order to get the insurance. And there are some plans where if people can't get your traditional policies, they have less types of medical screening. It costs more, but then there is an option for people who have health issues. Then to implement your decision would be to, if you need long-term care insurance, buy the policy, but also talk to your family about what direction you're taking, what your plan is, what your strategy is, how you want them to be involved. Ideally, it would be good to talk with them in the beginning and get their input. Many people just want to make the decision and then just talk to the family about that. So I have several examples of people, of how they've strategized, and I thought I'd go over some of the examples because often when you see real life cases, you can relate better to them. So let me go through the first person. So the first person is Lori. These are real people, but their names are different. Lori insists she will not need care. So that's a value, an attitude. Couldn't change that one. She has money that she doesn't need to live on, and she's setting it aside for her grandkids. But just in case she needs long-term care, she said that she'll use that money. So the solution for her, what we did was, she had a chunk of money that she's going to leave to her grandkids. She doesn't need to live on it. We moved it into a policy that created four times that money for long-term care. If she doesn't need long-term care and die, then her money goes back to the grandkids with 50% more. That's a death benefit, all tax-free. So is this going to solve all her problems if she needs long-term care? It may not. But she's in a better position than she was before, right? So the next person is Penelope. So Penelope doesn't have a lot of money. She doesn't have any family. She rents a room with a friend. She will need to rely on Medi-Cal. But she wants to stay, of course, near her friends and her church family, church members. That really has become her family. The thing is that if she went on Medi-Cal in her area, there are no nursing homes that have any Medi-Cal beds available. They're all full. So she would have to go to Stockton or Santa Rosa. So the key is for her to go into a nursing facility as a private pay patient to a nursing home that accepts Medi-Cal, and then when she doesn't have any more money, she goes on Medi-Cal and the nursing home cannot ask her to leave. So for her, we gave her 1 year of insurance that pays for a nursing home care. So when she needs care, if she needs care, she will go into a nursing facility in her community that accepts Medi-Cal. The year of her care, 1 year of care is taken care of. It's all paid for by the insurance. And in the meantime, she hasn't had to use her Social Security or pension. So that's accumulated. And so she will be able to save about $50,000. Now, at the end of the year, she goes on Medi-Cal. But Medi-Cal only lets you keep $2,000, right? But in her case, she has a special policy called the Partnership Policy, California Partnership. And that policy allows her to keep a dollar of assets for every dollar of benefit she collected from her policy. So let's say she collected $100,000 for her care for the first year. She goes on Medi-Cal. There's a line on the application. Do you have a California partnership plan? How much did you get? $100,000. And the insurance company has to report that to Medi-Cal. And then she's able to keep her $50,000 of money that she's saved and going on Medi-Cal. And when you're on Medi-Cal, you don't have a lot of amenities, right? So she will be able to do that, go on Medi-Cal, and have money to make her life a little nicer. She'll be able to give gifts to her friends, which is a big, you know, issue for her. Also to, you know, provide a donation to the church. So in her case, this kind of strategy or this plan is allowing her to have control over whatever could happen and keep her near her friends and her community. Bob and Mary are financially well off. They don't have any kids, and they plan to sell their home, their San Francisco home, and they plan to move into a retirement community in about 10 years. So when you move into a retirement community, you have to be relatively healthy, right? And so what their concern was what if 10 years from now, they're not healthy enough to get into that retirement community? So this retirement community that they want to move into is going to provide their care for life, if they need care. So the solution for them is they purchase a policy that would provide funding, insurance. They can afford to pay for some of their care, but they want the insurance to pay for most of it. And so in the event that something happens where they don't need care anymore, I mean, where they need care and they can't move into the retirement community, they have funding from the insurance policy that will pay for the rest of their life. If they don't, if that doesn't happen, everything goes as planned, they go into the retirement community, then all their money comes back. Their premium comes back to them. They can cancel the policy and get all their premium back. So they have that safety net. What's that? Well, it's a long-term care insurance with a return of premium. Premium's returning to them. Stan and Lisa, they have a comfortable lifestyle. They don't want to rely on each other. They don't want to rely on the family. They want to protect the family. But when we looked at their finances, realized that they could pay about 20% of, used about 20% of their income or money to go towards paying for care without having to go into principal. So Stan doesn't think he's going to need care for more than 2 years. He knows he's not going to need care for more than 2 years, right? many men say that. I'm only going to need care for 3 years, and then that's it. But Lisa wants, you know, she's conservative, and she wants to plan for a really long illness. Who knows what could happen? She wants to protect their money, protect the family. And so for their type of planning, what we did was give them a joint plan, a plan that either one of them can use the insurance from. And because it doesn't matter if Stan needs care for 2 years or no care, or right, or 5 years. So basically, they have enough insurance or funding to pay for about 80% of their care, and and the money would last 12 years between the two of them. So they feel comfortable with that, to have that sense of security, knowing that no matter who needs care when, they've got that much money to that can help fund a lot of the cost of the care. And Jerry is really wealthy, but he's worried about needing care for a long time. His wife needed care for a long time. He took care of her himself. He doesn't want to have the kids be involved in that. And his plan is really not to have care at home, but to be in assisted living or nursing facility. He wants to preserve the money for the kids, and he also has a charity that he wants to preserve the money for. He wants catastrophic coverage. So for him, the insurance plan, he will be paying for his care for a year out of pocket, and then the insurance kicks in after that and pays for as long as he needs care. So he's lowered the premium, but he has that safety net of it never running out. You know, we don't know how long we're going to need care, and so in terms of planning, we have to plan according to, you know, what is appropriate for us, finance-wise, family-wise. And he actually ended up needing care. He has Alzheimer's. And he's in memory care unit in Marin, and he's been there for, I think it's like 6 years now. So that worked for him. Margaret. Margaret has a modest amount of money. And this is a really, I like this story, actually. The whole family lives nearby each other. This is in Oakland. And the whole family decided that she's going to move in with one daughter. And the daughter agreed with this, too. They all said, it doesn't matter, we're going to take care of you, we'll take shifts. But she wanted to give the family some relief. So she has a policy that just pays enough money to hire a caregiver, a paid caregiver, for a few hours a day to relieve the family. The premium is, you know, very modest, and it gives her that sense of security, knowing that the family's not going to be 100% on the hook of taking care of her. So in all these situations, you know, we talk about how it's going to play out for them. And it's all different, right? Because everyone has a different situation. Ben and Glenda are very, very wealthy. They want to self-insure. So they want to just use money that they have. They have enough to do that. They've earmarked an annuity that they have. An annuity is an investment product from an insurance company, and the money grows tax deferred. Until you take the money out, then you have to pay taxes on the gain. They've had this annuity for decades. It has a lot of gain. It has like 3/4 gain in it. That means that if they started taking money out to pay for their care, they'd be taxed on first the 3/4 of it. And then they got to the money that they put in. So instead, there is a law was passed a few years ago that said if you put, the government knows people are going to tap into their life insurance, they're going to tap into their annuities to pay for care. So they said, we'll design or we'll allow for certain annuities to pay for long-term care. And if there's a lot of gain like this, if you have it in a certain type of annuity, then you can pull your money out and then you don't have to pay taxes if you use the money for long-term care expenses. So here, they had already earmarked a whole bunch of money for long-term care, but they would have lost 40% of that gain. And so now they can, hopefully they'll never need care, but if they need it, they can draw the money out and it will be tax-free. And of course, Ben Franklin, you may delay, but time will not. Most people put off planning for your care, and then, again, we just hope everything's going to be okay. It's much better, just like my mom planned ahead, and she created her own plan, her own strategy. And when she planned for herself, who else was she planning for? Right? Everybody around her. So the thing about long-term care is it doesn't just happen to you. It affects the entire family. So it's important to have a clear idea. It doesn't have to be exact, but you want to have a clear direction about what's going to happen, you know, if you should need to ask for help. So I'm really early. So do you want to go into question?
Denise, we'd like to remind our listening audience this is a program with the Commonwealth Club of California. You're listening to 7 Ways to Protect Your Health and Wealth with Denise Michaud. And obviously, Denise, there will be questions. So I'd like to open it up, and if you'd raise your hand, we'll give you the mic and you can be heard. Okay, start here.
Well, Denise, thank you very much for the opportunity to learn a little bit more about long-term care so we can plan for our parents' futures and our own. I have a two-part question. Mm-hmm. Number one, if a person is expected to live, say, 25 years, and they were to go into, and these words are used very, very generically, and you have to know a little bit more, and I'm sure you know, a assisted living care kind of a place that has, say, 4-star amenities, mm-hmm. And they had a pot of money that was in a neighborhood of $1.5 million. Would that last? And of course, that takes into consideration what's the cost of the increase in yearly assisted care from the facility and what the market will be like. I said two part, but I think the other question was this. If the money did not last, mm-hmm. and they had only $2,000 left in a bank account, do most facilities allow you to stay in that facility with Medi-Cal or someone like them reimbursing them?
Well, not for assisted living facility, not in California. So California, Medi-Cal will pay for your care in a nursing home. And again, right, you have to have limited income and assets. So your first question about will that money last over 25 years, you can call me or email me or something. I have my contact information on the front of the sheet, and I can do a quick calculation for that and see how long it would last.
That'd be great.
Mm-hmm.
Can I ask another question?
Sure.
What kind of rate of return do you use? What kind of rate of return do you use to try to project the future on your savings and investment account?
Yeah, that's going to depend on the person because some people take risks, some people don't take risks, right? Some people are more conservative. And if you're talking about the money to save for long-term care, the average inflation factor that we've seen is the cost of care going up about 3%, sometimes 4%. So if we want to factor that in, or maybe be more conservative and say 5%, then we can back into, you know, how much it would be needed.
Thank you.
I had a question. You were talking about this couple who had lots of money and they had earmarked, set up an annuity and they had it for decades. Mm-hmm. But then I got the impression that there was a product that they could...
Put it in?
Yes. And withdraw it at no tax if they use it for long-term care. But my question is, they can't take that annuity that they set up ages ago and convert it, or can they?
The product that I'm talking about is an annuity.
Right.
But it has to be set up to pay for long-term care, so it has to have that certain wording. And it means that it has to be a qualified annuity. And we see that word qualified a lot with money. But it has to qualify according to this law that was passed called the Pension Protection Act. So they can take that annuity, and because they've had it for many years, there's no penalty to move that money. If they moved it, if they took it out, yes, they'd have to pay taxes on all that money, the gain. But in this case, they don't have a penalty period because they've had it for so long, and they moved it into this qualified annuity. And now it's the wording in the contract says that if you need long-term care, need help with your activities of daily living or have a cognitive problem, then you can pull your money out and not be taxed.
This question is somewhat related, but if your parents are already in a long-term insurance policy, is it difficult to move them to a different type that might be more appropriate for their circumstances?
Usually, it's not a good idea to change policies once you have a policy. We can always look at it. I think I've changed in 23 years, maybe changed two. you know, and that was, it wasn't a good company, it wasn't a safe company to be with. But in any event, insurance companies bump up rates every few years for new people applying. So if it, if they've had the policy for how long? Do you know?
You're talking about my mom? Yeah. So she, he's talking about my mother, actually. She's had it for going on probably 20 years.
Oh, yeah, 20 years.
But so she's not someone I would describe as proactive in this. And yeah, we were all surprised that she actually, my father died quite early.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't mention it to me or my siblings that she had it. So we're starting to go through it to try to understand it, because she's, we're anticipating she's going to need some assistance pretty soon.
Right.
What I'm finding is that...
Well, and especially, I just want to say, if she needs assistance soon, then she has health issues and she wouldn't be able to get a policy, because you have to be relatively healthy.
Oh,
not so, like on the
so
verge
it's good
of needing
that she already
care.
Has one.
Yeah, and I'm glad she has a policy,
yeah,
right?
I'm surprised.
And it would be astronomically much more if she changed it anyway and if she could.
What I'm finding is that she, there's quite a bit of criteria she has to meet, thank you, in order to get even assistance at home. My siblings and I all live close by, and we can require help out, and we're certainly wanting to, but we're all in, of course, full-time jobs. Mm-hmm. But if we needed shopping, or we're starting to wonder about her gait at home and just to be watched, or she's not forgetting yet to turn off stoves and things, but just starting to require some help, I think they have to meet a lot of criteria in terms of ADLs. Like, she can't bathe herself, and she certainly can, you know, those
but
types
she,
of things.
And she might need to be have someone nearby, though.
If right.
If she has some memory issues, it might be she would qualify. Well, it depends on the wording of the policy. And if you want me to look at it and help you understand it, I'm happy to do that with you.
Oh, thank you.
You know, you can give me a call
really
and we
intense.
Can go through the wording.
Okay.
So 20 years ago, the policies were a little stricter than they are now. You know, if she bought it before 93. Yeah. Well, we and I'm happy to look at it for you and just help you help you understand how it works and how to make it work for you.
Could you go over some of the things that one wants to look for when you're shopping for a long-term care policy? I mean, what do you need to get?
Well, so you want to look at good company, strong company. Since 1996, we'll make it easy for everybody. Since 1996, a law was passed, HIPAA, you know HIPAA, right? You go to the doctor and you have to sign a HIPAA form. Well, when a law is passed, a law has many parts to it. And part of HIPAA was standardizing long-term care insurance across the country, because policies were different in different states and... But now, all the policies have to work a certain way. They all have to pay a certain way. They all have to have, include certain things. And so the main differences between so since you know that's true, and all the wording's going to be very similar, you want to look at the company, make sure it's strong, and the premium. And one company is going to have, or one policy is going to have, something included that another policy is not going to have. So some companies might say you can use your benefits to do home modifications or buy equipment or rent equipment. You can use your benefits for that or train family members. And another company might not let you use the benefits for that, for those things. Some companies let you use the money outside the United States if you want to live outside the United States, and some don't. So the main thing, I think if you compare three companies, you get sort of a sense of what's available out there in terms of, you know, the features that are included. And so what the agent can do is just basically compare give you a range of coverages and premiums and identify what is included in this policy. Well, this is how I do it. I put them in order by premium, the lowest, the highest. And then we look at the first company and say, how does this plan work? You know, what's included, what's maybe not included, and then what is different in the next policy? The next policy is more expensive. Why is it more expensive? Is it just because the company's charging more, and why? Or does it have something else in the policy that's not in the first policy? And then we do the same thing with the third. And it's very, very simple to compare these things, you know, once you know all the components of them. Did that help? Or do you want more?
You want to be sure that you have a home care option and things like that. Unfortunately, ours, I think that what we have is before 1996, I'm sure. So
it may still be okay, though. And companies, actually, when that law was passed, had to give people an option to change it, to standardize, but they charge more. And mm-hmm. So many people saw that letter, oh, you can do this and pay more, and they just, you know, tossed it. Most likely your policy has home care. Almost mm-hmm. all policies pay for home care, assisted living facility, and nursing home care. And but I'm happy to help you understand how your policy works, and I do a nice summary so it's really clear on what has to happen to get your benefits. You know, how long do you have to wait and before the money kicks in, because you have an elimination period or deductible time, and what do you get, and what does it cover? So I can do a nice summary for you if you want.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. What I was also surprised was that we have two separate policies.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what most policies are. They're two separate policies. In one example where we put a rider on the policy to create this joint policy so that they could share each other's policy. But most policies are two policies anyway. And that sharing didn't come along until later, right? So the key, when you have a policy, the key is to know how it works and, you know, what it covers and what it doesn't cover.
So maybe a two or three part question.
Three part?
So how firm or clear are the coverages in a given policy versus open to interpretation? And then also, how able might an insurer be to change what a given policy covers? And then, if I may, a third question.
You might have to repeat them, though.
Okay, all right. So you said a few times that the insurer or the applicant must be healthy, must be well. So how is wellness defined?
Meaning, right?
So, thanks.
Okay, so the first part, you have to tell me again. I'll repeat it.
Just wait until he's finished.
Oh, like, is the wording vague, you mean?
Yeah.
After 1996, when that law was passed, the wording is very clear. There is one thing that happens that I find people are referred to me that their benefits were denied, and it's just always happens, and so I help them out, and it always happens to be this one thing. And that is that in California, you can hire, your next door neighbor to take care of you. So not that I recommend it, right? But as of 1993, a law was passed saying that since the state of California doesn't license or require certification for personal caregiving, the insurance companies can't either. Huh. So the wording in the insurance plan, if you look under the home care, paragraph, it will say something like that you can hire skilled people from a home care agency and among other people, right? Among other people. And then it says, you know, for personal care, you can hire skilled and unskilled. But it kind of is like low in the, people don't notice that. It's a little more obvious now in the policies today, more current policies. But that's the one thing that I, what happens is when someone goes on claim and calls an insurance company, they, the person in the insurance company pulls up a general contract. California is unique in that, you know, aspect. So they're looking at that and they say, oh my God, you've hired, you know, someone who's not from a home care agency, you're denied benefits. So then if I hear about it, I think, oh, this is why. They have to have purchased the policy after 1993. And then I call the insurance company and say, or I tell them, call the insurance company, Senate Bill 1943, passed in 1993, says blah, 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 and then it's approved. So that's kind of the big thing. Otherwise, everything else is, should be very clear. If you have a policy and you want to take time to sit down and read it, it's not complicated. You just have to spend time with it, though. You know, it looks awful.
I think we have two more questions.
Okay. I can help. I can talk to you after that, too. Afterwards.
I didn't have a question. Yeah. I've lived so long that my monthly premium that I have to pay every month has actually dropped.
Yes.
Couldn't believe it when I saw it.
How did that happen? All right. That doesn't usually happen, so I don't want anyone to count on that. Well, congratulations on that one.
Has an organization like Consumer Report done a apples and apples comparison of different programs?
Yeah, they did a long time ago, 1997, I think. And they made a big mistake. Big mistake. They weren't used to comparing these things, right? They compared and they said the best company is Penn Treaty. Anybody in the insurance industry that's a high-risk company, low ratings, you would never use that company. But, you know, they had the piece of paper from Consumer Reports, and now they're almost bankrupt. So, No, there isn't any other independent, though. So, are we done?
Denise, no, we have time for one more question.
Okay.
And will you stay and
answer questions?
Yes,
I'm happy
questions?
To stay and help your questions.
People can get more than their money's worth.
Yeah.
Stay and after to ask questions.
I have only just begun to look at the policies, and I find them dizzying, not simple at all, not clear at all, because some seem, and tell me if I'm interpreting this, some seem to be offering a lump of money that whatever you've paid for a certain, how many ever years you've paid in, and that's what you have to draw on. Others say, well, you can buy 10 years or 20 years or 5 years in your policy. And so is that am I missing something there? Are those two?
There's a range of coverage that you can purchase, right? There's a range of amount of money that you can purchase, and the money's going to last X number of years based on, you know, what you purchase. So in comparing things to make it simple, what I would suggest is, again, looking at like three companies and putting a range of coverage down for, it will pay out for 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 6 years. And then when you compare three, you're going to see a sweet spot that is going to be seem appropriate for you in terms of the premium that you pay and the amount of coverage that you would get. So it's, you'd have to see it. But give me a call if you want, and we can talk it through if you'd like.
Isn't it nice to know someone knows this stuff?
Yeah.
Really.
It's simple to me.
Yeah. Well, our time is gone, but if you have questions, please come ask Denise at the end.
Oh, and this is that form, the financial form, if you wanted to pick one up.
Yes. Okay. All right. Our thanks to Denise Michaud for speaking on how to protect your 7 steps to protect your health and wealth with long-term care insurance.